My friends, welcome to the Jeff Yaldin Show on WMRC 1490 Radio. I don't know if you remember last week, but last week I was talking to an awesome guest, Larice Molinari, screenwriter and author from Los Angeles. And my conversation with her was so inspiring for parents and teenagers and self-esteem and bullying, but finding the love of reading that I had to bring her back, and I want to talk more with her. Larice, welcome back to the Jeff Yaldin Show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, thank you for visiting us again. We left off last week, and I kind of felt bad about it. We're talking about bullying and cyberbullying and what you can do about it. And you kind of made a comment that I need parents to really understand. I said to you, Larice, what can we do about it? And you said, you know, there's really nothing you can do. And while I agree with you, I also want to interrupt and say, I do think there's one thing that we can do. And that one thing that I think we can do is parents need to take a greater role in teaching your children. And I know this is hard at fifth and sixth grade in middle school, but we need to teach our kids to completely ignore. Because I feel at fifth and sixth grade, that middle school level, we're searching for meaning and understanding, and we're finding that independence, and we build ourselves up by tearing other people down. And for whatever reason, someone is not going to like you, they'll talk about you, they'll ridicule you. And when you engage them and you give them any power, they feel that it's working and they'll continue doing it.
Absolutely.
So I don't even want our kids to respond.
What you just said is amazing.
But you know, so here you are. You're a professional. You're a screenwriter and author. You're an expert when it comes to our children. What about the average parent that is not you and I, that makes a career working with our kids? How do we get them to teach their kids to just ignore it?
I mean, I have tried that, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it does not work. And it's hard because, you know, I always just try and say to my kids, you won't even remember half three-quarters of the kids that you're in the class with right now. As an adult, you won't even remember their name. But then my kids will say, yeah, but it's important right now. And I understand. And that's what the battle is, to try. And, you know, what I do is try and show my kids that there is life outside of, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade. Take them to places. Take them to museums. Show them, you know, get them interested in other things. So all those little clicks and things won't have as much hold over them.
Yeah, but that's not satisfying the right now. And I like that your kids said that. Mom, but this right now, I have to deal with this tomorrow. I have to deal with this tonight. They go to bed with their cell phones and a notification comes in, which takes them out of that level four sleep. Yeah. And they answer the notification and they slowly get back into it, which our kids are losing sleep. It makes them cranky. It makes them uptight, depressed. I think the average teenager needs eight to 10. I'm going to say 8 hours of sleep. And, you know, if you're ugly, you need more. But the bottom line is our kids really need to turn off their cell phones and have that little bit of downtime. And when a kid says it's right now, well, you know what's important, Larice? Right now, they need to learn to just ignore the people that are being unkind and just realize that, you know what? I'm not going to give them the power over my emotions.
Right, right. Because it is a power game. And that is the hardest thing to teach your kid. It's about building their confidence so they won't care when these kids do and say things. And I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but it is a process.
Repetition.
Yeah.
How do we build the confidence? And I don't know about you, but I think it's harder out there for young girls than it is young boys.
I agree.
How do we, you're a mom of a 14-year-old that just entered high school, how do you build the confidence and self-esteem in your daughter?
Well, it's, you know, there's many things that we do. I think the first thing, though, is just an open dialogue with your child and a brutally honest open dialogue. And, you know, that's fantastic. And I find a lot of times kids won't tell you what happened during the day. You know, as soon as you pick them up from school, so what happened today? You won't really get much. It's kind of when they come home and they've had a few hours to just kind of de-stress themselves. That's when I find like I can have a really meaningful conversation, especially even before bedtime, because I always want to stay up later. So that's sort of when they're vulnerable and you just go up in the room and just start talking to them. So I think the first thing for building confidence, just have this relationship with your child so they feel that they can always come to you first and come to you and get advice from you.
I always say to my audiences when I speak to big parent programs, I ask the parents, if your child is hurting in some way, shape, or form, and they want to go to a trusted adult without feeling that they're going to try and fix everything and judge them, do you feel that you would be that trusted adult that your child can come to? And if the parents are doubtful or they're like, I'm not sure, I think we need to reevaluate who we are as parents. And I like what you said. Basically, you're making yourself available, which is time. And I think you spell love, T-I-M-E. So when you pick the kids up, when you pick your daughter and your son up, do they immediately put on their Beats and like check their smartphone? Or I think when you're in the car, you know, turn it off. This is our time to be together and we can chat. Even if there's no real conversation, we can just listen. Or like my dad used to say, look out the window and be happy.
Right, right. We say that a lot to our kids. Yeah, because, you know, we'll be driving somewhere and they need their Kindle, you know, to like, and I said, no, just look out the window. Just take, you know, it's beautiful scenery. Think about things.
Yeah. So
you always need to be on those devices.
Do you agree with when we have that valuable time, we just, there's no phone, there's no Kindle?
Yeah, we need that time. I mean, our kids need that time.
Absolutely.
And I think if you can't actually have that time at that moment, that's when they should be reading. Because if your child is upset about something or just wants to escape, you can always escape through books. And I remember a high school teacher telling me that if you physically cannot leave your environment, you can always leave through books. And I'm trying to always get my children to understand that. And I always have a book, you know, that with for them that they can read.
That is such awesome advice. My friends, you are listening to Larice Molinari again. We're talking about self-esteem and getting our kids to escape the pressure and the stresses through a story that they can engage in reading a book. And let's remember, engage your kids in a book that is chosen by their choice, that they're interested in. And we're really building the self-esteem. We're going to go to a quick break, and we come back, we have more. You're listening to The Jeff Yaldin Show on WMRC. My friends, welcome back to The Jeff Yaldin Show. I have special guest Larice Molinari. Please check her out at laricemolinari.com. Professional screenwriter from Los Angeles and an author of books, a 3-book series for our children. Larice, thanks for being with us. You know, do you think your books are good for parents to read too?
Yes. I get a ton of emails from parents that have read the book and thank me for it, because a lot of kids have been reading the book, and I get emails actually from the kids too saying, like, now I think I'm going to try and be a better person. Now I'm going to listen to God more. And that's what I'm going for with these books. And the parents have, you know, really been happy about giving these books to their kids for those reasons.
So are these books about faith?
They are. Not a specific faith, but faith in general.
So it's not about religion, but it's about faith.
Right.
I'm supportive of that. I was just in a community that had 8 suicides in 1 year.
Oh my
and
God.
The superintendent asked me how I felt about while I was there, if the pastors should be there and should we have a school prayer. And I said to the superintendent, I said, listen, you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't, but you're dealing with a community crisis and everybody is asking a lot of questions. I says, the superintendent, you need to make a decision that's right in your heart and go with it. So we agreed to have all the pastors in for the 2.5 days that I was there, along with mental health. And I sat down with them. And Larice, this was a real defining moment in my career, because I go to my church and I listen to the pastor. I don't, you know, that's my relationship to my higher power. But at this point, I was able to talk to the pastors and say, listen, can we leave religion out of this and can we focus on our faith in doing what is right for these impressionable minds? So,
I feel that kids need to know that there is more beyond this life. That whatever, however you envision it, that there is more to life than just what you see in front of you.
Yeah, but what about your audience? When you're writing this book, you've got to be careful not to ruffle any feathers. But, you know, then again, I'm the type of person
that... Oh, it's okay to ruffle feathers.
Oh, I'm glad you said
Why
that.
Why not? Why not?
Good. Larice, thank you. And parents need to understand that. It's okay to ruffle feathers, but you try and do it with tact and you think about it and I always say that.
You don't hit people over the head with your message. You don't shut something down someone's throat because that never works.
And, you know,
it never works.
Some people like you and some people don't. And I'm sure as an author and a screenwriter, there's some people that love your stuff and some people don't, but you can't really get all caught up with that.
You can't. I mean, look, when you go to a movie with someone, you could come out of the movie and one person says, hey, I really liked it. Yeah, no, I really didn't like it.
Sure.
We saw the same movie. Like, it's just the way it is.
Well, being Larice Molinari that deals with the screenwriting and Los Angeles and the producers and agents, but also being the author, do you deal with trolls on the internet?
Yeah, you do. I see some of the emails, but I really don't respond to them. And then at a certain point, I go a long time without checking any of that stuff because you can get caught up in it, and you can't please everyone. You just can't. It's impossible.
But this is
that's kind of like, you know, as we're talking about trying to get your child to build their confidence so they won't care what people think. Well, we kind of need to learn that lesson too as adults.
Absolutely. But it's interesting that you say that because we were talking about bullying and cyberbullying, and here you are. You're like, you know, I don't even respond to it. There's a great story that we can tell our kids that, you know, we as adults deal with it. But you're either going to engage in it and you're going to lose energy and momentum and you're going to be like, well, I wonder why they don't like my material. Or you know what? You stay true to who you are and the work that you do. People will have their opinions, but I'm not going to let it affect me.
Right. And overall, over time, you will be respected for that, taking the high road.
Absolutely. So why do you think kids want to constantly tear other kids down?
Because I feel it comes from their own insecurities, that they often have their own insecurities, and it makes them feel better if they can put someone down.
I agree.
And I think when you strip everything away, that's what it comes down to.
I agree. You know, one thing I hear about from parents is they think some teachers are bullies.
Yeah, I have found that to be absolutely true.
Tell me why.
I mean, we all have, even growing up, you're always like, oh, that was the mean teacher or that was the nasty. And I have often seen where a teacher just doesn't like a kid and will go after them and will humiliate them. And that is just absolutely wrong.
I agree 100%. I have trouble thinking that there's a teacher that we entrust with these impressionable minds that will make it obvious that the said teacher doesn't like a particular boy or girl. I do think it is true that there are teachers that don't like specific kids, but I'll tell you what, you never let that child know.
Right. Right, you can't. But the kids see it. I mean, sometimes I'll pick up my kids and they'll be with their friends and just start telling, oh, yeah, well, that teacher hates so-and-so. And the kids just know it. And that's absolutely wrong. Teachers should not do that. They should be held accountable, too, because then, you know, a fish rots from the head down. You can't, you know, as a teacher, be a bully and then expect the kids not to be bullies because they see everything.
Absolutely. And sometimes we get confused with what bullying is. Sometimes bullying can just be the tone of your voice in an authoritative manner. You know, and I understand you are the teacher. It is your classroom. You are the parent. You are the adult. You know better. I understand. But I also think we're dealing with different kids today. And one thing I always say, if you touch the heart, the mind will follow. I also think if you upset the heart, you may never get that kid to come back to being present with you.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree, because very few kids, you know, if you wound them at this age, it's very hard for them to recover.
Such impressionable.
And it's something they carry into adulthood with them.
Absolutely. 14 years old, 10 years old, middle school, I think, are those formative years that yeah. are much more difficult than high school. And I think when you and I were growing up, high school was more intimidating than it was middle school.
Yeah, I don't remember having any problems in middle school.
No, I don't either, really. You listen to the Jeff Yaldin Show on WMRC 1490 Radio. You also listen to the Jeff Yaldin Podcast. Go to iTunes/Jeff Yaldin. I want you to also check out LariseMolinari.com, screenwriter from Los Angeles, author, and check her out, please. We're going to go to break, and we're going to come back with our last segment with Larice. Don't go away. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the Jeff Yaldin Show. I hope you enjoyed a quick break from this conversation. We're talking to Larice Molinari, screenwriter and author, LariseMolinari.com. We're talking about parenting and self-esteem, a little bit of bullying, and what to do when you're bullied or harassed. Larice, one of the questions that I have is, so we have our kids at such a young age, you know, 10, 14 years old, they're reading books that they want to read. So we developed a love of reading, and they're inspired to be able to get away from social media and finally go into their own story. One of the questions that I'm thinking is, at what point, because school is so, you know, our standardized test, everything is so structured, I think we've gotten away from simple things like the handshake and the yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, please, you're welcome, excuse me. I'm wondering, as a parent, at what age do you think it could be okay that I want to encourage my child to read Dr. Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, or Rhonda Byrne, The Secret, or Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill? What is your take on that as an author?
Well, I think it depends on your child. Some kids are more mature than others, but I think you could start around age 12 if you have a mature kid. Then you could wait a few years, 14, if you know you feel your kid's ready at that age. But they should be reading books like that, because I see that with my own kids. I mean, even something simple, if someone comes over to our house for a visit, say hello. Sometimes you're like, what do you mean you didn't say hello? Stuff like that just drives me crazy.
No,
you know,
kidding.
You have, someone walks in and say, hi, how are you? How are they? But it goes back to texting. They're just so used to, you know, doing everything with their fingers and texting, that a lot of those social skills are completely lost today. And I think it'd be fantastic if you can get them to read those books at a young age, you know, 12 or so.
Again, I think parents have to do a much better job of engaging their kids and getting them involved, because I'll tell you, generations will change, and we can't stop that. But I'll tell you one thing that will never, ever, ever change is that first impression, the yeah. handshake, the eye contact. And I think as much as you want to text and be on your smartphone with your friends, don't ever forget that human connection is so, so, so important.
Right. And that will, you're right, that will never go away. I mean, I hear stories of kids having job interviews and taking out their phones and texting in the middle of the interview.
Oh, I was doing CrossFit this morning, and one of the people in my class is an emergency room doctor, and he and I were talking about some of the doctors that come in that he calls, say, hey, listen, we want to hire you. And he says sometimes it takes up to 4 days for them to be able to respond to you. And they say, oh, they were busy, they didn't have time. And he's like, well, okay, well, I'm too busy to want to hire you. And he's telling me one story about a lady was sitting there texting her husband to find out if he was coming to lunch with them. And it was this 10-minute texting conversation when, can't you just pick up the phone and get it done in 30 seconds?
Right, just pick up the phone, talk to someone.
I'm wondering, are we hurting our youth more than we are helping our youth?
time will tell. Because it's all new to us, too, as parents. And look, electronics are not, it's not going away. And I feel that what we just need to do to help them, to make these human connections, we need to take these electronics away for certain periods of time.
Give me an example of what you mean by that.
Well, like my son is going to a camp this summer. Absolutely no electronics are allowed. That's fantastic.
The whole week?
The whole week.
Wow. What kind of camp, if you don't mind me asking?
It's a religious camp.
Okay.
It's a Catholic camp. And, you know, I think that's great for them because it's an old-fashioned camp. They're going to go fishing. They're going to swim. They're going to, you know, all kinds of games. And there's absolutely no electronics.
Well, you know what I like about that, Larissa? I'm sorry. I just interrupted you. We are forcing our kids to go to this camp and to engage in other kids that they don't know. And it's okay to leave your friends for a week to really find new friends here. And then in a week, you know what? You can have your smartphone back. You can have your Instagram back.
Right, and that's how they can stay in touch with their new friends that they just met at the camp.
Absolutely. So I think what you're saying is there should be boundaries on kids with their smartphones. Do you think kids should go to bed and use their smartphone as an alarm, or do you think parents should take their phones away from them?
Take them away.
Absolutely.
Definitely take them away. I mean, I even know when I have my smartphone when I'm sleeping, you'll still hear a ding in the middle of the night. You'll still you just know it's there. I know, just take them out of the room.
Put them all in the kitchen.
All in the kitchen.
Absolutely. One of the things that
it's
I was
too
just
tempting.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. One of the things that I was also thinking of with kids and their self-esteem, some reports are coming out saying that when kids look at other kids' best selfie moment, they took 300 selfies to get the best angle, the best light, the best smile, that blemish isn't showing. A lot of kids sit home and they see it and they judge their life compared to that person's life. And so yet they feel that their life is inadequate comparing themselves to other people.
Yeah. I see that with my daughter. You know, just every little picture. Oh, doesn't she look great in the self? I think girls do that a lot more than boys. And it's dangerous. You know, it's just dangerous comparing yourself to other kids like that because there's always going to be someone who's prettier, thinner, whatever it is.
But I think it's really learning to have that self-acceptance for yourself. And also, to you know, one thing for me, we all judge people. But I honestly don't think that I have ever said anything bad about – I just don't like the drama. I don't like when we – and I think this is something that we need to teach our kids – don't get involved in the drama. Leave it there. If someone's going to talk negatively, say, I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to hear about it. You kind of walk away.
Right, I totally agree. Yeah, and I finally actually got my daughter to that point where she just recently, she's like, you know, there's just a lot of drama with that group, so I'm walking away from them.
Good for her.
And like, yay. I was just fine. But you know, it took 2 years to get to that point.
Well, I think what we're talking about is parenting.
Confidence.
Parenting is not easy. Parenting is an everyday job. And like you said earlier, it's about making yourself available for your children. They're not going to get in the car and tell you about their day. But maybe at nighttime when they're getting ready, they want to stay up later and you go and tuck them in. I love you. Good night. You know, and just by sitting on their bed and talking about whatever dinner or something, you're going to get your kids to want to share with you more than maybe you even want to know.
Yeah. Sometimes you hear things you don't want to hear.
Well, absolutely.
It's better to know.
Absolutely. My friends, you just listened to the Jeff Yaldin Show with special guest Larissa Molinari. We will definitely have her back as a frequent guest. I appreciate you listening. I hope you all have a great weekend and check her out at LarissaMolinari.com. And also, you can visit my website, JeffYaldin.com. Thank you, everybody.